Back to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We're in the second half of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. It's an open forum, so you have an opportunity to ask whatever question you have about your relationship. Just reach out to us at 855-454-5905. But first, we are going to check in with our favorite social network, Facebook. Marcos, what are people saying on the book today?
All right. Well, actually, we were about to mention something here on Facebook. The person, I believe, prefers to be anonymous. But at the same time, we have a very similar question on the phone.
On the phone.
It's almost like let's address both. I'll just read the question on Facebook and then we'll go to our caller real quick. And if you haven't done this already, we do invite you to visit our Facebook page. We're going to talk more about what's on Facebook in just a moment. But go to Facebook.com, look for Marriage Beyond the Vows, hit the like button. But here we got someone wrote a private message. They said, my desire is beyond sex. It's companionship, but the guys that approach me are not appropriate, even though I'm not flirting and dressing provocatively. And on the phone right now is Charmaine from the Philadelphia area, who is a single Christian. She's saying she's lonely, but she's not attracting the right people. So it seems like a very similar question. So we want to address this right now. Charmaine, good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning.
Good morning. So let's get this straight here. So you're single, you're a Christian, and you obviously want to meet the right person, the person that you can settle down with, get married, do things the right way. But the men that seem to approach you are not spiritual, and you're wondering, why are you attracting the wrong kind of people?
Correct.
All right. And now, let me just ask you a few questions, if you don't mind, Charmaine. How old are you?
52.
Okay, so you're 52. And have you always been single, or were you previously married?
No, I was previously married. It was a rough marriage. It didn't work out. I've been single for the last, 10 years?
Okay.
I have dated off and on, but I find that I'm not having satisfaction with the people that I'm meeting because I don't want to have sex. I want companionship. I want spiritual life. I want someone that I can grow with spiritually. Okay. And I want somebody also to be able to be the leader and financially comfortable.
Okay. Okay. Well, you have a list of qualifications, and that's okay. That's understandable. But let me get this straight. You're not saying you don't want to have sex when you get married. You're just saying you don't want to have sex before marriage, correct?
Correct.
Okay, because that's very different, right? If for some reason you're saying, I want to have companionship and get married, but we don't want to have sex, that's another issue. That's not what you're saying. Okay, so for the last 10 years, now, where are you meeting these men?
Well, sometimes I meet them in the church. Sometimes I meet pastors, and I'm very surprised of their idea of a relationship. I meet people on my job. I meet people all over.
Okay. Well, I think number one, of course, not just because someone attends a church or even, unfortunately, if they're saying they're a pastor, it means that they're living right. So many times, you know, we gotta use wisdom, discernment ourselves. Correct.
Right. Correct.
So here's what I would encourage you to do. I think number one, have you allowed any of your close friends or relatives to suggest someone for you?
Well, I think that's my problem. I live I work a lot. Mm-hmm. I find fulfillment in my job, but I don't go out a lot and I don't have a lot of friends.
Okay. And I think that's the number one issue you have there, because for some reason, you know, your biggest, I would say, opportunity to meet someone that pretty much aligns with your convictions is the people that know you and know your convictions, because that's the very first thing. I mean, to give you a short version, my wife and I had an absolutely pure, beautiful relationship, and we met through church, but not just because we were at church, but people that we knew. And I really appreciate the advice that I had been in a few relationships. I knew what I was looking for. And I knew also what I wasn't looking for. Believe it or not, the greatest lessons I learned from my previous relationships was what I didn't want more right. than what I wanted. I knew right. what I absolutely didn't want. And okay. so when my wife had an interest, and this is no surprise, I've shared this before, I even joke about it, but she actually had an interest in me first. I wasn't looking at that moment. I had just broken up in a relationship, and I was actually considering going back, which to think of it now, it's like it was pretty insane because I wasn't really happy. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about going back with my ex-girlfriend, and mm-hmm. my wife shows up to the scene. You know, we started leading, we were young, we were leading a campus ministry together. And at that time, she really had an interest, and she spoke to a good friend of ours, this couple that I know. And the very first thing that sister told her was, listen, Marcos is really serious about X, Y, and Z. He's not trying to play around. I was still young, but I was already mature enough to know that my next relationship, I really wanted to be something serious that would possibly lead to marriage mm-hmm. with a strong possible, right? And so my wife and I knew from the very beginning what we wanted and what we didn't want. But we also let people in our lives, and their advice was priceless. I believe I wouldn't have the marriage that I have today if it were not for the relationships of those around us. From the premarital counseling to the after marriage, you know, struggles, the first few fights, all that. It was so helpful to have people in my life. And it sounds like for you, more than meeting someone, you need to start praying to God to find great friends, even other married couples or even other singles that have a like mind, a kindred spirit, that they're trying to really please God, and that you have this network of people, because that's where you're going to find your chances of finding that person you're looking for mm-hmm. is going to be around them.
Okay.
Honestly. And it could be, you know, maybe they just know this great guy, but they know his convictions, and he'll probably be saying the same thing to them. He'll say, I'm tired of these women, that they're not serious. I'm trying to live right. I want to be pure. I want to wait to marriage. And then you say the same thing, and they're like, hold on a second. Charmaine, you got to meet so-and-so, and we got to hook you up. And not even deliberately, like I don't go around trying to play matchmaker. I've been able to help a lot of people get together because I see what they're looking for.
Right.
All right.
You know what, Marcos? I take that, what you just told me, very seriously, because I was looking at my life. My professional life is great. I am very good at what I do. People mm-hmm. like me and all that. But when I come home, I don't want to socialize with people. I don't want to go out. It's a struggle just to, you know, have myself looking good and go back out there and socialize.
Sure,
so
sure.
I think that's my major problem.
And you know what? I just want you to stay connected, because there are some great events we have through the radio station. Even myself, sometimes I'll do events where I have married couples, and sometimes I have some for singles where mm-hmm. they just get together in the area. So, you know, you're in the Philadelphia area. You're not too far. I'm in Delaware now. I just relocated. But even tomorrow, if you don't mind, I can give you an invitation. We're actually having like a gathering. It's like a park church service, but with a crab fest. So mm-hmm. I don't know if you're into that, but it'll be a great opportunity for you to come meet some people and really start building those relationships, not even the romantic relationships, but your friendships that can later lead you in that direction.
Okay. Where do I get that information?
All right. Well, the first thing, I want you to just hold on. I'll give you more of that information through my producer. But if you or anyone else is listening and you want more information, I'm going to go ahead and post that on Facebook as well. Okay. So that everybody can have that. But in the meantime, just stay there, and Larry, our producer, will give you a number for you to contact me, and I'll give you more info.
Thank you very much.
All right, Charmaine. Have a blessed day, and thank you so much for calling us and being so open about your life.
All right. Take care. All right. We have Charles calling in on line 4 with a question. Charles, good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes, hi. How are you today?
Good. We're doing great, Charles. Now, what is your comment or question about today's topic?
Okay. Really, it's in order for me to get into my question, I have to give you a little history on my past quickly, on my marriage. Basically, me and my wife have been together since high school, and we're both relatively young. We're both in our early 20s.
Okay.
We've been through a lot over the years. Mm-hmm. We have a young child, and over the recent years, my wife has actually, We got married earlier this year. First time being married earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And last year, she actually sent me to prison.
Okay.
Wow. And, yep, we weren't, you know, we weren't married then. We weren't thinking about marriage. We had the child. I was, you know, taking care of my responsibilities. But relationship-wise, you know, we were going through it a lot. And when I came home from prison earlier, later in the year last year, I wasn't convicted of any charges at all yet. I was actually still fighting. I was able to be released back home so I could start working again and taking care of my family.
Okay.
At that time, when I was in prison, I found out that my wife was she was not only cheating on me, but she was also messing around with women.
Okay.
In the house, had them around my daughter. I didn't know this. When I went to prison, I became very close with Christ. I've always had the seed implanted in me growing up, but, you know, once I was imprisoned and around all the negativity and the Muslims, I really had to break down and get close with God and basically have him mold me into what he wanted me to be. And my intentions were to come home, to marry my wife now, and take care of my family so we can do this thing right. And I was heartbroken when I came home and I found out that information. And we still ended up getting married, but truthfully, we got married out of my fear of going back to prison.
Okay.
I married her because I, she basically made up a bunch of stories saying I did this and that to her, and they were prosecuting it, and they were believing her story. So we ended up getting married, and I
hold 1 second there, Charles. Quick question for you. I want to get more into this. We're about to take a break, but I have some answers for you. But before I do, I have more questions, and one of them I'm going to hold on and wait so that you can answer right away, if you don't mind. So,
okay.
Charles, you're opening up. I appreciate that. I think that you have an amazing story that you're sharing, and we definitely want to give you some guidance on it. So don't go anywhere. Please stay on the phone.
That's right. And if you're listening, please don't touch that dial. I want you to hear what else Marcos has to say to Charles, and we want to hear your call as well. All you have to do is give us a call at 855-454-5905. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We're in the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. Right before the break, we were talking with Charles out of Philadelphia. We're going to rejoin that conversation. Charles, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right, Charles. Thank you so much for your patience. All right, so it sounds like, I mean, obviously there's a lot there. Now, if I get this correctly, your girlfriend at the time sent you to prison. And as you kind of started thinking more spiritually in prison, and one of the things that you realized is that you knew you had to come out and change. You found Jesus, you got close to God, you felt like now the right thing to do is get married. But there was also a part of you that felt like if you married her, then she wouldn't send you back to prison or press charges, you know, and get convicted. So in the interim, you have discovered more, the fact that she has been adulterous, not just with men, but with women as well. And now you're trying to figure out what to do. Is that correct? Or is there anything more that I left out?
Well, there's more. Because like I said, when I came home, you know, I really studied things. I prayed with God a lot because I didn't know what he wanted me to do. I felt as though where I was going with my life, where he was leading me, I really had to sever the relationship with her. But unfortunately, like I said, we have a very young daughter who was my heart. And I wanted her to be raised up in a two-parent household. And me, myself, just the leadership that I provide, I stayed around because of the fear for my daughter's future.
Sure.
Also, the fear of, once again, me not being with her. And then when the court proceedings came, for her to, you know, be scornful as well, and then send me to prison, which was going to be for a long time, based off of the charges that she had placed against me. And it was very tough for me because my faith is very strong, and I just feel as though, you know, like I love her, we're married, I love my family, but sometimes I feel as though it was a lack of faith to God. Sure. By marrying her, because I really married her out of fear. And if I had my faith in God, then what should I be afraid of? And since we've been married, it's been a lot of issues, a lot of arguing, a lot of regret on my behalf, and it's actually led to me committing adultery, which I am, like, I, you know, heard you, I was listening earlier, but about sorrow, and worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. And I'm so, I'm so afraid. I feel like I let God down. Mm-hmm. Everything he's pulled me through. Since prison, he's blessed me with a better job than I had going in.
Okay.
He's blessed me with promotions. He's blessed me with, you know, being able to take care of my family and lead us. And then now, although everything that she's put me through and all the hurt that I still felt from things she's done in the past where she let me down spiritually, I still committed that act, and I just feel shameful to God because I just felt as though I was stronger, and I wasn't strong enough to just overcome.
Okay, well, a few things, Charles. I think, number one, my heart really does go out to you because I think that you're very vulnerable and very open and honest, and I think that's huge. Not condoning your behavior, but I think that a lot of it you need guidance. You know, being a Christian, it's not supposed to be a lonely, you know, life. You're supposed to have, number one, your spousal support. I mean, that's the way God designed for it to be. And that's why God is so adamant about not being yoked together with unbelievers. Mm-hmm. And then, but number two, I think that, you know, that's why we need the church family. But really, I believe as men, we need other men in our lives that would challenge us, see things a certain way, and especially when it comes to being fearful. You know, faith and fear can't really coexist. Because, you know, as you're faithful, you will overcome that fear. Now, fear is real. You know, it's God gave us that emotion for a reason. And sometimes it's really good, right? It can protect us. It can get us out of dangerous situations. You're fearful. And the fear of God, the Bible teaches, is the beginning of wisdom. So we need to understand that fear is a good thing. But to be controlled by the fear and make fearful decisions could be obviously very devastating, like you've seen for yourself. And then it leads to other sins, things that we just want to in some way self-medicate. And I think that perhaps is what pushed you to commit adultery and to figure out, okay, I just want an escape. I just want this to get better, which in a sense makes it worse, so much worse. But I think, Charles, this conversation has to get a lot more personal. And I want to reach out to you and have an opportunity to talk to you some more personally, because I really believe that even counseling, like I just think we need to talk some more about this. You need some help. I appreciate so much your openness. And I think that right now what you need more than anything else is some biblical guidance. Like, what do you do next? And honestly, I wouldn't give it justice to even start to try to scratch the surface on this one. And I know some of our callers, you know, our listeners could be disappointed. Like, oh, I want to hear more, but there's just too much. It wouldn't be right for me to say, okay, do this, and that. There's not a quick fix. And it sounds like more than anything else, would your wife be willing to get counseling as well? Because that would be huge. If she is willing, and to be able to hear her side of the story would help me to be able to help you more. And so what I want you to do, please do me a favor, Charles, don't go anywhere. Stay on the line. Our producer, Larry, will give you more information so that you can contact me off the air. Yeah. And I just want us to be able to talk more and connect face to face.
No problem.
All right. So, Charles, just hold on one second, please.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for holding on. Again, the number to call to reach us, 855-454-5905. Let's go to Jacqueline calling in from the Philadelphia area. Jacqueline, good morning. You're live on the air.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
My question is, I've been married 17 years, actually happily married. My husband and I, we have very healthy sex life. But lately I've been reading the scriptures, trying to find out about the sexual immorality that you were speaking about earlier. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, can there be sexual immorality within a marriage, a healthy marriage? But is there such thing? Because I want to please God, and that's my main thing. And I don't want to do anything that's not pleasing to him, but also want to enjoy my husband and, you know, make him happy. So is there such thing as sexual immorality within a marriage?
Okay. Well, first of all, let's go to the scriptures, right?
Yes.
I'm going to share something with you. I don't know if you have your Bible.
I don't right now, but.
Okay. Give me 1 second. I'm
just getting okay.
a passage here for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, it says, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God would judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Okay. So let's define that, right? The marriage bed kept pure. Now, what exactly is pure? Now, it's very, like, the New Testament, especially the New Testament, not the Old, but the New Testament, there's so much freedom in Christ that sometimes it's ambiguous and we wonder, okay, what's right, what's wrong? And it's not like the Old, right, where we have the law and it says you can't do this, you can't do that. However, there are some things that we know are absolutely wrong, like sexual immorality. So what is within the will of God and what's not? Well, number one, there are no boundaries between you and your husband, but the boundaries that you do have are biblical, meaning that you can't bring someone else to the marriage bed. And that would include lust and pornography. So you wouldn't be surprised, you know, how many times I'll have a marriage workshop and this question comes up, like, is it okay for married couples to watch pornography together? Well, absolutely not, because you're engaging in something immoral, even though you're just with each other. But what are you desiring? What are your eyes going to covet? What are you going to do? You know, Jesus talks about in Matthew 5 about if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And he talks about, you know, that even if you look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery. So bringing someone else in, especially pornography, where people are, they're indulging in immorality. And on top of that, they're acting. So you'll never be able to really satisfy one another. But besides that, bringing someone else or something like that. And the third thing I would say is, as long as it doesn't violate your conscience or your husband's conscience. So if there's something that your husband really wants to try, you should. But if really going to make you feel dirty and wrong, then it's something you have to discuss first and make sure you're both on the same sheet of music. But besides that, there really are no other restrictions, you know,
okay.
that sometimes people try to add these things, but they're literally not there, whether it's oral sex, whether it's, you know, other kind of foreplay you want to have. That's between you and your husband. You're married. It's pure. Your body belongs to him. His body belongs to you. The Bible does talk about love and respect. So anything you would do that's respectful and done in love, then it's fine. And you should enjoy that. You should enjoy that sexual intimacy you have with each other.
Wow, thank you. I mean, I've been kind of struggling with that a little bit. I've been reading the scriptures, and I'm like, I've seen what it said, you can't bring others, and we've never had any problems with that or infidelity or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just was struggling with, okay, but what about being pleasing, doing the right thing by God? And I fear, you know, making him unhappy. So even though I want to make my husband happy and he wants to make me happy, I also want to make God happy, too.
Okay. And think about this. So, I mean, God, why would it make God happy if you're willing to please your husband, again, as long as it's not immoral or you're not being honest? I'll give you an example without being very graphic. There's something your husband really wants you to do,
mm-hmm.
but you're feeling torn. So before you do it, instead of just saying, oh, sure, I'll do it, being open. Look, it's not that I'm not willing, but let's get some guidance here. Let's feel right about this. And,
okay.
you know, again, I don't want to be very graphic, but there are things like that. In my marriage, my wife and I have discussed, you know, this is not necessarily wrong, but are we ready to go in this direction? Let's get some input. Let's talk to couples who've been married a long time, who have healthy sex marriages, you know, we people that we trust. And
mm-hmm.
it only enhances our relationship. And then there are other things that, you know, we've tried and we're like, guess what? It's not really for us. And we're fine. But you have the rest of your lives to encourage and to grow together and to learn together, which is a blessing.
Amen.
All right, Jacqueline. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate that question. It's an excellent question. I believe many would want to ask or perhaps would maybe a little bit of a hesitation to ask, but I think it's an excellent question to ask for our program.
Before I go, there has been friends of mine who told me the reason for their divorce was because of that reason. There was things they didn't get all of their needs met.
Yes.
With their wife or with their husband. So then the other one decided to go outside because what they weren't getting at home.
Well, this is what should happen, right? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, love always protects. You should have such a healthy sex life that your husband doesn't want to go outside, that your wife doesn't
Correct.
Want anyone else. Now,
exactly.
There are still some people that unfortunately they're so warped with sin that even if they have the greatest sex life, they still want more. And that's an issue of lust, and that's something
okay.
else. But you're right.
Right.
The two main reasons why people get divorced is sex and money.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
so it would be so, you know, ignorant of us as Christians if we think that we're immune and that if our spouses are not fulfilled sexually, that they're not going to be tempted. Now, some of them
sure.
might really, you know, they're going to hold on a little longer and they're going to try to do the right thing. But Satan is going to come after them as well. So you're right. You have to have a healthy sex life. That's what God wants, to please one another. That's why he created sex in the first place. He could have made
thank
it where
so
we
much.
Don't feel anything. Right?
I really appreciate it.
All right, Jacqueline, we thank you so much.
All well. Right, bye-bye.
All right, take care. Let's go to Malcolm calling in on line 2 from Charlotte. Malcolm, good morning. You're live on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Malcolm, quick question before you go, or quick comment I want to make before you go on. For all those listening, you are listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows, and we're having an open forum, meaning you can ask whatever you want. But if you have little ones in the room, we encourage you that this is an adult conversation. We are going to discuss certain issues tastefully, but they are not for underage or even perhaps some singles might not want to hear what we have to say. But that's entirely up to you. Just use discretion when listening to what we're talking about right now. So, Malcolm, I know you're calling in from Charlotte, and you had a question. What is your question
yes.
for us?
Yes, I did. Actually, the young lady that just spoke, she pretty much asked the same question that I was going to ask, but I also had a follow-up question.
Okay.
And I'm just going to ask my question and just let you go at it. But I wanted to find out your views on gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And what are some scriptures that I can go out and minister to people to let them know the truth and to kind of drive it home, other than the abomination and man laying with the same flesh? What are some scriptures that I can kind of drive home to let open people's eyes? And have you ran into any problems with your ministering to people in that regard? And how do you handle that? And I'll go ahead and hang up and let you talk.
Okay. And you don't have to hang up. You can, just in case we have a question or something. But let me address that. I think number one, going back to your question about what's permissible or not permissible in the marriage bed, you saying that earlier when Jacqueline called in, basically I answered that for you. And so making sure that, again, that you don't violate your conscience and that it is within the confines of what God considers moral and right. But there's no man should put a limit. You know, a lot of religious authorities, or let's say they've tried to kind of dictate what God would consider pure or impure. And that's what the Pharisees did. And Jesus rebuked them because they try to put kind of a law on top of God's law. And the Bible says, you know, the marriage bed is pure, meaning that this is between you and your husband, as long as you don't go, and like I said, bring someone else, pornography, anything like that. But going to the gay marriage question, I tend to stay away from the phrase gay because it's more of a modern term. The biblical term is homosexuality. And although for some people it might sound like the same thing, it's like sometimes we try to sugarcoat what sin is. You know, like someone, instead of saying an affair, they'll say a fling. You know, it just sounds a little like you sugarcoat the sin. Homosexuality is sinful behavior. Now, that's different than someone struggling with same-sex attraction. there's a difference there, because one is a temptation, the other is an act. The same way that homosexuality or homosexual behavior is a sin, it's the same way that I would address someone who is a heterosexual but is committing adultery, is going outside of marriage, is having sex outside of marriage, before marriage. It would be equally wrong. And so Romans 1 perhaps is one of the clearest scriptures, I would say. You're still there, Malcolm?
Yeah, I'm still
there. Okay. You know, Romans 1, where it talks about how this is how the world will be. And I'll read a small part here. It says, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. And this is the world today. You know, we have changed, or the world has tried, I say, change what God has made right and wrong. Meaning, well, you know, and let's start with just basic marriage. Well, it's just a piece of paper. So people shack up. They're calling themselves Christians. They're living in sin. Let's call it what it is. They're in sin. It's not, they're not married. Same thing with homosexuality. You know, we try to say, oh, it's, you know, nurture versus nature. Either way, it's the behavior that's wrong, not the temptation. We're all tempted to do a lot of things. I mean, there are a lot of things that if we just went by our fleshly desires, we would indulge with a lot of things. But we don't do them because the Bible says it's wrong. Homosexuality, according to the scriptures, it's wrong. That's just very clear. Now, does that mean a person can't repent? Does that mean God loves them less? They're any different? No. We're all sinners. We're all the same. We all need to repent. No one comes to Christ having it all together. So whether you have a promiscuous background and you're heterosexual, you have a promiscuous background, you're homosexual, you need to repent. And that's what God calls us to. I don't know if that's clear enough for you, but that's our stance and what the Bible teaches. And we can't apologize for what the Bible says.
Okay. I can deal with that.
All right.
All right. Appreciate it, sir.
No, absolutely. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Malcolm, thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for asking a great question.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much. Let's go to Denise calling in from Atlanta.
Oh, no. Line four,
okay,
I believe.
Okay. Let's go to Marcia.
Marcia, that she called earlier. Okay.
Okay. Marcia is on line four. Marcia, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. So you calling back.
I was trying to hear. The last question he asked me about, did I have other children? I was talking about one of my sons was murdered, Jamel.
Yes.
In 2003. And yes, I do have other children. And I was talking about the 23-year-old. I'm praying that God deliver him. And have an older son. He's incarcerated. But I'm just trusting God. I just let it all go because I was going through a trend. It's like one thing after another. But I know I go through trials and tribulations. I'm just got to trust God for my children, you know, because it's not in my hands. It's in God's hands. But my question was to you guys, I had told you before, concerning marriage. I've never been married. Yes, I was desperate at one time to get married, but I'm not, like, throwing myself out there. It's just that I just want to believe God, if it is meant for me to be married, what basically was my qualifications to do besides pray and read the Word of God? That's all. I just want to be on the right path concerning marriage.
Okay, well, you know what, Marcia, I'm going to go ahead and answer your question, and we also got some other callers that we want to attend to, so I'll answer your question. Just stay, you know, listen, and then we'll move on from there. All right, so here it is. It sounds like you've had some major issues there, and you're trying to figure out, and I think I mentioned this to you earlier when you called, is it Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give
you
the desires of your heart, and I think that You need to, number one, realize you have so much already with your children that sometimes bringing someone else in the mix and having a relationship complicates things. I'm not saying don't ever have anybody, but you just have to pray, is this the right time to have a relationship? Because also you're a little bit older. I'm not saying you're old. You're just a little bit mature and you have older children. So chances are you could end up with someone that they have children of their own. And then that's even more of a challenge. So what I would encourage you, and perhaps what I said earlier, was you want to make sure you sit down and count the cost, based on Luke 14 and figure out, okay, what is it going to take to have a relationship? And can you really offer that at this stage in life? There might be a time where you can, but right now, maybe not, because there's so much going on. But that's your decision to make. All right, Marcia?
Okay, thank you. God bless you, and thank you so much.
You too.
All right, take care. Let's go to Denise calling in from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Denise, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Denise. So thank you so much for calling in from Hotlanta. Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. I've been here for 2 years, but I called in. I've been married for 10 years.
Okay.
My husband stepped out of the marriage and with this lady, and she's bisexual. Mm. I found out about it. She's got a real bad past, and I confronted him about it, and I said, do you understand what the past this lady has? He said, yes. And when it all boiled down with all the things that had been done, her messing up my car, leaving notes on my door, text messages, he finally confessed that he made a mistake. He was trying to help her, and it's something that happened. He promised me that he would never do that again, and it was done, and sorry for hurting me, but he's still communicating with this lady, and I don't know what to do with it. And I asked him, I said, are you still, and he would always tell me, I'm not going to answer that question. And I said, why are you being so disrespectful? Why are you doing this? And when we're asleep at night in the bed, it's like he's dreaming, like he's sitting down having a full-blown conversation with this woman and laughing. And I mean, it's terrible. And I told him, I said, I'm tired of this. I mean, you know, you're so disrespectful. When I talk to you about it, you get so defensive.
Okay.
And then you tell me, I don't care. I don't care. What do you don't care about?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for calling in. It sounds like you have so, so much on your heart. One thing I want you to be careful is don't bash your husband on the air, even though you might be 100% right, because he's not here to protect them or defend himself in any way. Now, the facts are the facts, right? Like you're saying, he got involved with this woman. She is not just bisexual. Let's just be honest. She's not trying to live like a Christian. She's not living a godly life. So, of course, he got caught up. And this is what comes to mind, and I want you to consider this and hopefully even share it with your husband. Now, don't preach it at him. Let him know this is what I said, okay? Because you want to make sure you're respectful. Even though you felt disrespected, doesn't give you a right to go back and disrespect your husband. Is that clear? I just want to make sure.
No,
all right, so
I have it because, you know, I love my husband. That's number one.
Oh, you obviously do. If you didn't love your husband, you wouldn't be upset. So you love your husband. We know that. Now, here, let me just interject and let me share this with you. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. What does the scripture say? That our heart is deceitful. We can't trust it. Your husband, his true heart is sinful. And so here he got involved. He might say he was trying to help this woman, but he got caught up. And here's a woman not trying to live godly, who's obviously out of control sexually. And he got involved, and now there are other issues, and it's affecting your marriage. And so it sounds like your husband can't trust himself.
Okay.
In his heart, he is really struggling right now. I mean, like you're saying, he's even having these conversations at night in his sleep. You know what that tells me? That tells me that this is heavy on his heart, but this is what he's thinking about. This is what is on his mind. A lot of times, you know, I believe we can dream spiritual things, but other times we could dream things that are just on our minds and on our hearts all day. You know, if we're, you know, dreaming, we're worried about something, guess what you'll dream? What you've been thinking and worried about. Usually that happens. So that's what it sounds like your husband is wrestling with. And he's just going to have to get open. Is he willing to cut this off? That's something you can demand as a wife in a respectful way, but you have every right to demand. This woman has already caused way too much grief in your relationship. If there's any way you're going to heal and salvage this relationship, he's got to cut that off totally. No discussion. Yeah. Like, he needs to, if not, your marriage will get destroyed by this woman.
And I did. I told him that as well. I said, I'm not going to do this. I mean, this is unacceptable. And, you know, he promised me that. But then now I said, now, you promised me that. What are you doing? I'm not going to answer that. I mean, we've been married for 10 years. I have four beautiful children. And, you know, we've talked about it. And I said, are you, and I hear what you said. You sorry you got caught or you're sorry? What are you sorry for? And he was like, well, I'm basically sorry for everything because, you know, she went out and she told everybody, everybody that she was having an affair with him and the things they were doing and how they were doing.
Something I say so often, you dance with the devil, you'll pay the price. And that's, you know, you think that something that's done in secret won't be uncovered. The Bible says sin gets exposed even from the rooftops. And so that's what happened here. And he got caught. Now, the bottom line is, has he learned the lesson that you play with fire, you will get burned? He should run.
I don't think so.
He should run.
I don't think so because I told him, I said, I want my marriage to work, but I can't work on it alone. I need your help as well. I said, I need you to help me. And, you know, if we're going to make this marriage work. And I said, right now I'm in a state where I can't. I'm trying to trust you, but you're not showing me a reason that I can trust you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I said, sometimes I just want to call you and say, hey, how you doing? And I said, when you answer the phone, you're like, yo, what? What you want? I said, okay. That's not the way to talk to someone.
Absolutely. You're right. And so, Denise, let me leave you with this last scripture. Take this to heart. Share it again. On my behalf, share this with your husband. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. So
yes.
He needs to flee. That's the word there. He's not fleeing enough. He's still, if he can't answer certain questions, not good.
Give me that scripture once again, sir.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Flee from sexual immorality. And this is not Denise, you telling your husband, this is what God is saying to him. And let him know that I made reference to this. And if he has a problem with it, he can give me a call.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate
it. All right, Denise. Have
God
a blessed
bless
day.
All of you.
Thank
all
you.
Right.
Take care. Let's go to Blondie calling in from Philadelphia. Blondie, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
All right. Good morning, Blondie. What is your comment or question for us today?
Okay, what I wanted to, you mentioned earlier about when the word, which I already knew that, when a woman and a man divorce, that the woman can't remarry.
Okay.
What about the man?
Good question. That's a very good question. You know what? That has been debated in a lot of ways. However, what I made reference to wasn't just because, you know, someone wants to get divorced. That's, there is... let me go back to this. Let's go back to the scripture, 1 Corinthians 7, right? Paul is giving advice, and then God says some things really clear. One of the things that I want to make sure that we don't skip is the fact that what God wants is for us to remain married, all right? Absolutely. However, there are times, and I want to read this here. It says, if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife sanctified through her husband. Otherwise, your children will be unclean. But if the unbeliever leaves, let it be so. The brother or sister is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. So number one, if someone leaves you and they're not a believer, they're not trying to live like a Christian, then you're free. However, if you leave the person, now the way I read this, it's for both. It's not just the woman or the man, but you got to understand that this was written in a time where the women didn't really have the same rights as a man. And so I believe that a lot of this really mentions directly, okay, this is what the man does, this is what the woman could do. But God himself, in his infinite wisdom, wrote something that it doesn't matter if it was in that society or this society, it still applies, where a woman can leave her husband. Now, in some cultures, that would be like unheard of. But even in that time, God is like, well, you can, but this is what it means. So can a man remarry? Well, it depends. Why did he leave his wife? If he leaves for the same reasons, he just doesn't want to deal with it. Or if he leaves because he wants to be with another woman, absolutely not. That is adulterous. He can't do that. Are you there? I could barely hear you. Blondie, right?
Yes.
So that does that answer your question here based on 1 Corinthians 7? Okay,
I was just wondering about it because it seemed like it was one-sided, and I know God is not one-sided, and I just wanted to hear from a biblical perspective and not just trying to figure it out of my head to what is really being said.
Well, let me break this down just simply. Like, who really chooses to get married, the husband or the wife?
It's really hard to say in this day and age. There was a time it would have been the man.
Yeah, there was a time it was a man. Now there are many women that ask as well, right?
You know, it was the man and like the word said, if a man find a wife, he finds a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so mainly it's going to be rest on the man.
Okay.
So man is the head of, God put man head of it.
Exactly. Well, that's what I was leading to. Is the man is still supposed to be the head. Now, that doesn't mean he's the head and is a dictator, but that also means spiritually he's supposed to lead the wife. And this is right. where it becomes challenging. A lot of times men like that position, right, because they're in charge, but then they don't want the responsibility. And here's the responsibility. If your right. wife doesn't do well, you're accountable to God. And I'm talking about for the man. So really, the pressure is on for the men to make sure that they're spiritual husbands.
Right. But now, you know, I know I've read also where the man just, I mean, like, the man can just dump the wife if she ain't doing what he wants.
Where did you read that?
No, I didn't read that in the word, but it seems like, I know some guy figure, oh, well, she ain't doing what I want. I can do what I want, and
okay.
don't worry about her.
Well,
you know,
I got
but
you.
But then it's rest all in the, but when the word, when you're reading the word and you're not sure what it's saying because the way it reads, it's like, oh, I'm here, and you mean to tell me you go out, commit adultery, you go out, you do this, you do
no,
that.
No, it, Blondie,
the
Blondie,
woman is tired of it. She says,
yeah.
leave,
yeah.
and then he leaves, but yet he continues to do what he want to do, and she stands because, in fact, she want to honor God. She want to do what's right.
We
but
got
then
you.
And she's left there, look like everything is on her, holding the bag, where he's out still living his life.
Yeah, we got you. And Blondie, unfortunately, we are out of time, but I want to clarify, there is not a double standard. The Bible still has to be the standard for the husband and the wife. And
okay.
even if it sounds like someone's getting away with it, they're still going to have to give an account to God.
Right.
And that's our stance. Okay, well, Blondie, thank you so much. We appreciate you calling us today. And thank you so much to everyone else. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in. Great conversation on this open forum on Marriage Beyond the Vows today.
Absolutely. And we invite you to join us again next week. In the meantime, you can always pay us a visit on our Facebook page. So look for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Facebook.com. With that said, much love going out to Ron, our producer, and also our producer here in Philadelphia, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.